Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest in the studio is Laurent Damowich. Laurent is with ECHO, Eradicate Childhood Obesity Foundation. Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here on the show and really to have an opportunity to tell you a little bit about ECHO.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit of ECHO? You're really on a mission here.
We are clearly on a mission. I have been on a mission my whole life, really, as not just a foodie, but wanting to do good and help people. Moved from the food industry to 7 years ago, the world of not-for-profits. And it's been quite a journey and an adventure as an entrepreneur to find a new horizon, really, and new opportunities to work as an entrepreneur in the field of 501c3s like we are at ECHO.
So how did the interest in childhood obesity, which seems to be of epidemic proportions, come onto your radar?
Well, I was shocked first coming to this country from Paris, France, where I'm born and raised, to see the food habits and the food environment. But then I worked in the food industry for 20 years. And then finally, when I came to a program at Harvard called Advanced Leadership Initiative 7 years ago, I realized that maybe we had the means of doing something about it, that we could address childhood obesity with new approaches and try to make a dent to change food habits.
And you talk about food habits in this country. Is this an epidemic that hits hard in this country and not in other countries? And what are sort of the driving variables and factors for that? Other than, of course, content in the foods, but imagine we live largely a packaged food society here.
Processed foods, processed. Not just packaged. It's processed everything. And I think that's the syndrome, and that's the beginning of the problem about 30 years ago with the advance of not just processed, but fast food and fast processed food. In other words, the way we live today has nothing to do with the way we lived, including in this country 30 years ago. Hmm. But it's more prevalent in the US. But then, as many exports, this has been exported all over the world, both in beverages, in foods, in you know, all the
so are we seeing the rise of childhood obesity in other countries as well?
Everywhere. Hmm. It's in China, in Saudi Arabia, in Mexico, and in France. It's everywhere.
Which ultimately leads to adult obesity, I take it, and severe health problems that not only are probably coming down younger and younger. Kids are becoming diabetic and other types of issues.
It does, Jonathan. It's really tragic to see now a two-year-old or three-year-old that weighs 183 pounds. And you're like, well, this used to be my weight, right? How is this possible? A three-year-old. And it happens. And that's really, it's not only tragic, it's what do we actually do about it? What can we do about it? Mm-hmm. How do we change the system?
And how much of it is genetic predisposition versus influence of family lifestyle? You know, you model the behavior that you see. And so do we see successive generations of obesity? Is that a common thread, or is it that, you know, kids see stuff on TV and, you know, head out to their fast food restaurants? Both.
I don't think it's both. It's really lifestyle. We hear a little bit about genetics, but it's really because we've lost already a generation or two of cooks. People don't know how to cook anymore. So we need to teach those basic skills, like I've been doing for 2 years at Harvard Medical School, teaching a basic cooking and nutrition class. Just for fun, but also so that the doctors would one day tell their patient and say, it's not so hard, believe me, it doesn't cost that much, and doesn't take much of your time. I can show you how to do your salad dressing. I've learned how to do it at med school. Mm.
You know, it's fascinating that you bring that up in terms of people learning how to cook. And, you know, we're in such a society of things moving quickly and everything's instant gratification, including, you know, eating and the family meal and all that. I cook at home as well, and one of the things that always fascinates me is how pure, so to speak, or how limited you need to add, you know, things to have flavor, whether it be spices. You don't need to add fats. You don't need to add, you know, certainly saturated and polyunsaturated fats. But you go out to a restaurant, and you can tell that there is so much added to it. I'm not even talking a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, there's added sugar. That's enemy number one. And that's what we found out where we want to make a difference is fighting added sugar. Because when you eat that burger or the dish of pasta, why should there be 2, 3, or 5 teaspoons of sugar in your meal? It's nonsense.
And why is that? It's not the preservative aspect. Why are chefs and the industry adding the sugar? Is it cheap as a inexpensive, relatively speaking, as an additive? What's the rationale behind it?
The rationale is really a longer addiction. Story than we have, but that's the key word is addiction. Mm. Yeah, we've been addicted as kids now. I mean, nowadays, the current generation, the 30-year-olds, are already addicted really, really bad, from baby formula to toddler foods to the foods they get as teens. And as a teenager, they eat 30 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Wow.
That's the average in the U.S.
Wow.
It's completely insane. I the last TED Talk I did is Secondary Sugar Kills, explaining how the addiction got into the system, how we got from those toddler foods that are deceiving and that people give to their kids, or those vanilla yogurts that have those 4 or 6 teaspoons of sugar.
Added sugar.
That's absurd.
Mm. And you know, I saw a little bit on your website that part of what you're trying to do is really unmask, so to speak, what the added sugar content is in everyday common foods. And, you know, reading a traditional label, most people, you know, go to the calories. And the calories don't tell the entire story. I guess it's
not only this, they're wrong. Mm-hmm. Because they're bad calories, good calories. People can't make the difference. You don't expect an average consumer to be a nutritionist and understand empty calories. What does that mean? It means you're just eating sugar. Mm-hmm. It's not going to do much for you in terms of bringing the vitamins, the minerals, the basics of nutrition that you need to bring to your body to function. You know, where's that potassium? Where's that magnesium? Not in the sugar. So what we're trying to do at Eco Foundation is 2 major programs. One of them is to create this instant recognition of how much sugar, how much added sugar there is in that packaged food by using augmented reality, AR. And we're the first to do that in the context of public health, to try to bring an app called Sugar Poke to the public, where you will be able to see, through your phone camera, instantly, how many teaspoons of added sugar. And I said teaspoons because people don't understand grams. But if you talk teaspoons and you see, oh my God, there's 5 teaspoons of sugar in that soup, mm-hmm. then you understand where the problem is. And you look for that green label, the one that has 0 added sugar.
Hmm. And is that an industry? Is that becoming a standard across the food industry that the you know, labeling is going to be different? Or through your augmented reality development, you compute sugar? So this isn't labeling that's going to change. This is that what you're providing.
Originally, when we created the foundation 2 years ago, I wanted to petition Congress to change policy and create an added sugar, fully disclosed label for the consumer on the front of the package in teaspoons so that people would know.
Mm-hmm.
This will not be easy. What the FDA has done is they've created a mandatory law for July of 2018 to disclose added sugar in addition to carbohydrates and sugar on the back of the label on a per serving basis.
Okay.
Doesn't really do the job, but it would help.
It's a step in the right direction, at least.
It was. Unfortunately, the current administration just killed that and said, oh, let's put that on hold indefinitely.
Sugar isn't a problem. There's no, you know.
Apparently, yes.
There's no glory. So, climate change doesn't exist.
Exactly. So why worry, right? We're happy. So that's one serious, serious issue. And the way we're fighting it, we're saying, you know what? We'll bypass policy. We'll show it to the consumer for real, instant, so they can tell how much added sugar and everything, and let them make a decision.
And this is through a database of products that you would have, ultimately, that people would be able to say, I'm picked up this salad dressing, how much added sugar is there, and your application does a computation?
Exactly.
Excellent.
So we started with 15 salad dressings just to show how bad the problem is. It goes from 0, green label, no added sugar, to a brand that has 40, 44, or 48 teaspoons of sugar in the bottle.
Wow.
That's a small bottle of salad dressing, and you think, how is this possible? until you read the label. And if you did, you'd see high fructose corn syrup. Maybe you understand it. Most people
highly concentrated form of sugar. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It's all sugar. Yeah. There's like more sugar than anything else in the bottle. It's crazy. Mm. But the second program we're doing to reach
But the they kids, justify that it helps kids to eat salad.
Well, how
but
do you
it,
keep
But negates any benefit, probably.
No, it kills the salad because people think it's healthy to eat salad, but not healthy if you're going to sprinkle five teaspoons of sugar on your salad, more than you do in your coffee.
Right. But that goes back to one of the comments that I made earlier about some of the restaurant industry, and I won't name places here, but you know, to have a salad the size of a trough that a horse might eat out of, loaded with salad dressing, and people think that that's a healthy alternative to the hamburger and french fries. You're probably eating more sugar and more fat calories in that salad than you would in the hamburger and french fries.
I've even come to say that in one of my presentations on the AR on SugarPoke, saying we're going to scale up, and have 100,000 products, all of the supermarket in the app, so you can tell on everything, and eventually on burgers and fries also, because they have sugar. And it's to the point you want to recommend to people to eat that big burger and fries because it only has 2 to 3 teaspoons of sugar. Is that crazy?
Yeah, it really is. Change our whole orientation around what's good and what isn't. And what is the second? You talked about the second part of the mission. And
so the second part of our mission is to try again things that haven't been done before, to be completely different in our approach. And for that, we're creating a food opera.
Interesting. But tell us a little more. What's food opera?
Do you know, Jonathan, Peter and the Wolf?
Yes.
Many people have heard this as kids and remember, the clarinet, the duck, the characters and Peter. And it really is that moment for kids. A fun joy. We said, how about we create an opera, a real opera, on stage for kids that will explain that the bad guy may not be the wolf. It may be that added sugar. It may come in different forms. It may have different names. It may be disguised. So we're creating a narrative. We're creating, with a composer, with a librettist, a real opera, and with 40 musicians from a group, an ensemble called Eureka Ensemble, based here in Boston.
Wonderful. So that'll be part of the promotional aspect of getting the word out and making it attractive to kids. It sounds to me like what you're aiming at is getting kids engaged in the process so they can look at it and say, I could tell that 40 added teaspoons of sugar is not a good thing.
Exactly. We want to engage the kids, and in particular the little kids, so that they can engage their parents and say, we had this food opera at school. It was extraordinary. We learned this or that. And you have to look for those green labels, Mom, those that don't have added sugar in it. Otherwise, you're going to die. Just like smoking, smoking cessation programs started targeting kids.
So looking across the spectrum of supermarket foods, and I don't know if you've done this analysis or not, but it would seem to me that, it's a relatively small proportion of foods that you can buy today that are probably, meet the standard that you're trying to establish in terms of sugar content.
Only a quarter.
A quarter. So 25%. So 75% of all foods exceed what is recommended.
Have
added sugar.
Contain added sugar. And most of them have hidden added sugar.
Can you define hidden added sugar? Or just that is that in the form of high fructose corn syrup or something that
Or a name you would never understand.
Dextrose.
Like maltodextrin.
Yeah.
What is it? It's what's in baby formula. That's okay. It's sugar, though. Or some other name. I mean, there's 61 names just on the USDA and FDA websites for sugar. Most of them don't make any sense. So it's hidden in a way you don't suspect. And when you look at a package of, say, cereal, you find out sometimes there are 8 or 9 or 10 different names of sugar. And you know the reason for this? By using different sugars, then I break it down so it's down on the list. So the first thing you see is oats.
Right. So
when in reality, if you aggregated all the sugar, by law, you have to put it as the first ingredient because it's the one that comes as the highest quantity.
Mm-hmm. So they're playing the marketing game of, or the spin game of separating mm-hmm. them out, and so that doesn't appear as a primary ingredient.
Unfortunately.
Fascinating. So fascinating story and a wonderful mission. Before we go, I have one other question I want to ask. What are the percentages? I don't think you touched on it. What is the percentage of childhood obesity within this country?
Childhood obesity in the U.S. is at 17%.
Wow. So one in five kids, one in six kids, roughly.
But adult obesity is at 30%, and that's the number one in the world. Sorry. And still, childhood obesity is in the top five in the world.
Wow.
So it's pretty dramatic. What happens is, as an obese child, you have a high likelihood of becoming an obese adult mm-hmm. and a diabetic adult and an overweight adult. Now, if you add overweight to obesity, it affects a third of the kids and two-thirds of the adults.
Wow. Wow. So those are tremendous numbers and obviously a wonderful or enormous population to work with. And I wish you some great success. If we can cut that in half, we'd be well ahead of the curve. And I know your goal is probably to eradicate it entirely.
Our goal, as our name says, is eco-eradicate childhood obesity. And we actually want to end childhood obesity for good. But for now, if we were able to make a dent and lower it by 10%, that would be extraordinary in the next 5 years. That's our goal.
One way to bring down healthcare costs in this country, but we won't go into
for
that.
Sure.
Our guest has been Laurent Damowicz of Eradicate Childhood Obesity Foundation. That's ECHO. And Laurent, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Through my name, laurent.adamowicz@gmail.com. That's the simplest way to get in touch.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a great pleasure, and we wish you nothing but great success moving forward. And we'll be right back with another story of entrepreneurship on Radio Entrepreneurs.